Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Thanks for tuning in to the Drive On podcast, where we're focused on giving hope and strength to the entire military community. Whether you're a veteran, active duty, guard, reserve, or a family member, this podcast will share inspirational stories and resources that are useful to you. I'm your host, Scott DeLucio, and now let's get on with the show. Hey everybody, welcome back to the Drive On podcast. Today, my guest is Ashley McGee. Ashley is a Navy veteran and a military spouse who encountered a lot of ups and downs in her health and wellness journey while in the military. Welcome to the show, Ashley. I want to get into your journey a little bit, but first, could you tell us a little bit about yourself and a little bit about who you are and your background?
Sure. So minor correction, I'm actually still active duty. Yeah, so I have about another year left. I'm going to be transitioning out this next year. So still working active duty. I'm an engineering duty officer in the Navy. And then I'm also a health coach for women in the military community. So that's my kind of the actual love and dream that I have that I'm building up on the side as I get ready to transition out.
Yeah. Sorry about that. I thought I had seen that you were a veteran, but that's
no worries.
That's okay. And so we got that clarified. So, so we talked a little bit about this this journey that you had with your own health and wellness while you're serving, and you struggle with this. So, but your health and wellness, your weight, your fitness, all that kind of stuff is pretty important parts of being in the military. Depending on the job that you have, I mean, it could be a crucial part of what you're doing. The struggle that you had to have affected you more than just your own physical health, but also your emotional health and your job satisfaction, your overall well-being. So what was that experience like for you while you're going through that struggle?
Yeah. I think this is really common with a lot of people, especially like once you get out of, high school, college. Like for me in high school, I was a competitive swimmer year round. So I had my sport that kind of anchored me. And then when I got to the Naval Academy, that's where I did my undergrad, you suddenly don't have control over what you're eating. the PT regimen is not really great. And as a swimmer that suddenly was running a lot, I actually got stress fractures. So I ended up injured. And that kind of started a snowball effect. So my whole time throughout the academy, it was a struggle. Like again, not a runner. So passing that PRT was not fun for me. And you wrap up a lot of your self-worth into your weight and your ability to perform. And even then, because I wasn't, doing amazing on my physical readiness tests, I'm passing them, but I wasn't like acing them. That took me out of the running for some opportunities, even while I was there, some like internship and things like that, because it factored over into your overall like military performance. So then, made it through, graduated, and my first tour was on a ship out of Hawaii. And I was so excited to be in the Navy, like so excited to be hitting the fleet, really bright-eyed, bushy-tailed, like ready to go. And my job, I was an engineering divo. So I'm working a lot, long hours, weekends, and it took about 6 months for everything to kind of catch up with me. Because again, I still hadn't really learned how to take care of myself in the Navy setting. So I didn't have a lot of time, which is the first excuse that all of us give, right? And my job was really starting to weigh on me. So physical health, like, wasn't great. PRT standards, like, I could, well, now I was allowed to swim it, so I was fine from a fitness perspective. From the weigh-ins, little dicey still. But my overall health was declining to the point that I actually started struggling with depression. And I'm, you know, trying to put on a good face for work, but I was leaving the ship every night and just crying in my car. I don't know how familiar you are with Hawaii, but I used to drive home on the H3 because I lived on the windward side and think to myself, like, what if I just went over the guardrail? And that was kind of the point for me where I was like, okay, we need to change something here, because what I'm doing now is not working, and it's not going to sustain me.
Right. And so you had that rock bottom moment, right, where you are starting to feel like, well, maybe it would be a better option to just drive off the cliff and just be done with that, right? Mm-hmm. So that was kind of the moment that you realized, okay, something needs to change. But what did you end up doing to make that change? What was the first step that you took?
For me, it was kind of letting go of trying to do everything perfectly. And again, limited time, limited resources, mm-hmm. limited energy. Like, okay, so what can I do? You know, I started making workouts non-negotiable, but like making them only 30 minutes or so, because I'd been taught for years, right, that if it was under an hour, like, psh, didn't count. Well, that's not actually true. And you know, when I was in port, really trying to focus on, I wasn't even eating healthier food yet, but I was limiting serving sizes of things that I knew weren't necessarily beneficial for my body. Right. So it really, and like, that's the thing. Most people think that they have to do all of these huge changes all at once, but that's how you stay in this like diet cycle, like all or nothing. And that's where I had lived for years. And so when I finally was like, okay, I'm just going to have to take this one little piece at a time and build up over time, that's when I started actually creating habits that were a little bit more sustainable and that I could make work even when I deployed.
Well, two things that I noticed or that I thought about while you were talking there. First is swimmers tend to have a pretty intense diet where they are burning a lot of calories, so they're eating a lot of calories typically, sure. At least on, you know, the higher, you know, higher, more competitive levels. And so if that's how you were used to eating, and then all of a sudden you're no longer burning that many calories through swimming and everything, and you're continuing to eat that way, you're going to just naturally gain weight and have you know, all of those the issues that are associated with that.
Absolutely.
I think that with the change in the lifestyle, there needed to be that change in the diet and the, you know, or you needed to figure out a way to get back in the pool and burn all those calories again. But but like you said, you know, time is limited and that becomes an excuse, right? Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, I'm guilty of that too. And, you know, I sleep in a little bit later than I should have. And, oh, well, I got to start working in a little while and I don't have time for the exercise I was going to normally do. And so I scrap it for the day and I decide not to do it, where I could have maybe fit in a half hour jog or something like that just to do something. Mm-hmm. But sometimes I just scrap it and choose a lazy route, you know, that's not always the best option. But the other thing that came across my mind while you were talking there is the book Atomic Habits.
Yep.
And
love it.
That's exactly what you were talking about. And in the book, for anyone who's listening who isn't familiar with that book and that mindset is that you don't need to make these huge sweeping changes in your life to make an impact in your life. When you have small incremental changes, you're more likely to stick with those changes versus going in and just saying, okay, I'm going to exercise 4 hours a day. I've never I've been sitting on the couch for the last 6 years. I've never done anything. And now I'm going to just get up and I'm going to go out and exercise like crazy. Mm-hmm. You're probably going to do it for a day or two, but then you're probably going to quit because it's like, this sucks. This is hard.
Or injure yourself. Yeah.
Or injure yourself. Right. And then, and then you're going to be sidelined because of the injury and, yep. You shouldn't push it through an injury, but you're going to end up having more problems and that's just not right either. And then that'll put you off even more and you're not going to end up making those improvements in your own fitness. So, but it's the same thing with anything in life, really, mm-hmm. small little changes will get you there a whole lot better.
Yeah. Well, and I love that you brought up Atomic Habits because when I read that book, I was like, oh, this gives language to things that I've been practicing and teaching for a while. And in my program today, I talk about the four laws of habit change because again, it's really powerful and you can apply it to any aspect of your life, not just health and wellness.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, if there's something that you want to start doing more of or doing less of, a bad mm-hmm. habit that you have, because it could work the opposite way too. Yep. Where you have maybe you're a smoker or a drinker or something and you want to reduce how much you're doing that, you can do those small incremental changes until you eventually get down to nothing or, to the desired level or whatever it is that you're looking for. So, I mean, all of that is really good. And is that kind of the core of, your teaching method is to kind of focus on those small changes or is there some other magic sauce that you use in your work?
Yeah. So, that's definitely a core component. But my coaching is based around what I call the four pillars of health, which is very simple. It's food, fitness, sleep, and mindset. It sounds simple, but people don't implement it. Most people are focusing on maybe one to two pillars, typically food and or fitness, right? But if you picture, a roof on these pillars, right? You only have two. You have a wobbly roof. It's falling off. Like it's not a good time. And so I focus on helping people create sustainable habits, right? So that's where the atomic habit piece comes in each of those four pillars. So they can get out of the diet cycle, get out of this, we're recording this around New Year's, right? Like get out of that perpetual, I'm going to have the same New Year's resolution to lose 20 pounds every single year, right? And actually learn how to make healthy living like a lifestyle, not something that you have to constantly be thinking about, worrying about, keeping you up at night.
Right. And New Year's resolutions, when people set those New Year's resolutions, I forget what the exact number is, but the vast majority of them they fail by mid-February.
Oh,
and
yeah.
it's almost not even worth doing. And,
anyone that regularly goes to a gym, right? You're like, okay, right. January, this is going to suck for about a month and a half, and then right. it's going to clear out again, which as a coach, like that's not what I want for you. But as someone that wants to get on the weight rack, it happens. It's a reality.
Right. It is. And I was talking with my wife about thinking about joining a gym the other day. And I was like, well, maybe I'll wait a month or two and wait for this whole New Year's crowd to die down before I just go in and not be able to find any weights or machines or anything to use, The whole fitness journey could be overwhelming to some people, right?
Absolutely.
If you're not looking at it from that small incremental improvements, it could be overwhelming and you might feel stuck because you're not seeing the improvements or the weight loss or the whatever it is that your goal is. You're not seeing those the progress towards that goal right away. Mm-hmm. So What are some steps that people can take to work towards improving their overall health?
Yeah, I love that you asked this. And my first piece of advice is to throw your scale out your freaking window. I say this as someone who, like, a big part of my business is helping military women pass their weigh-ins, right? So I understand that the scale is going to be a part of your life. But if you are weighing yourself daily or weekly, that's actually a really, really good way to demotivate yourself, get frustrated, and quit. If you must, once a month, if you must, but really throw it out the window. So like that's the first piece, and it comes back to like a motivation piece. But when it comes to really just those small things that you can immediately improve your health, there's a couple things that are relatively simple to do that are quick wins and have major impacts. So again, I base everything around pillars, right? So going to the food pillar, focusing on non-processed whole foods, right? Clean eating. Because what it ultimately does is lowers inflammation in your body. And what a lot of people don't realize, especially in the like calories in, calories out diet culture that we have, is not all calories are created equal. And if your body isn't using food as fuel, it's basically a toxin that is stopping you from achieving the results you want. So that's actually why I have like a clean eating challenge, just free on my website for people to start walking through that, because it's one of the biggest ways that you can make some small changes and see major impact in, and it will improve everything else, right? It will improve your energy levels, how well you're sleeping, how well your brain functions, like all of these things. So that's one. The second one is daily movement, not exercise, but movement. And for people with like an Apple Watch, right? Like it's nice. The rings break it down for you. There's a difference between movement, exercise, and standing. And so even if, you know, you don't get that workout in because you slept in a little bit later, can you take a 20-minute walk? Can you get some yoga in, stretching, something restorative? Learn to be in tune with your body and thinking about, okay, what is one thing I can do today that is beneficial for my body?
Those are, again, they're simple steps to do. And I like that you have that clean eating challenge, because I think some people probably aren't necessarily sure what the right things to eat are. I mean, all know, you know, eat your fruits and vegetables and that kind of stuff. And, you know, they had the whole food pyramid back when I was younger, and I don't know what it is now, which, if they changed it.
Oh my gosh, it's still not. I mean, they changed it, but it's still not actually good. And it's basically funded by lobbyists.
Right. And it's not, you know, ideal for what you want to actually be eating. But so what are some of the steps that you could take in this clean eating challenge to get yourself eating better foods and the right kind of foods for your health?
Yeah. So one of my favorite tricks that I love, and I learned this actually from my registered dietitian. So within my business, I contract to a registered dietitian, since I don't hold that certification, right? I don't hold that expertise, but I want to provide that to my clients. And a big myth when it comes to clean eating is that it has to be expensive, right? And, you know, in the military community too, like we don't have huge incomes necessarily. So when you're looking at trying to get more of your vegetables in, for example, don't be afraid of implementing frozen veggies, right? They're typically relatively inexpensive, and you can sneak them into a lot of stuff. One of my favorites is frozen spinach. You can put it in pasta sauce, or I mean, like there's a lot of ways to do that. Or even, I pretty much always have a bag of like frozen cauliflower rice in my freezer. So if I'm like, oh, what am I going to make as a side tonight? I know, I'll season that up. And it makes it really easy to create more of that balance. So that's like one of the biggest ones. But really, like, when you're looking at food, limiting how many steps have been taken between it coming from nature and you consuming it. You know, because sometimes it's like, what does processed even mean, right? But if someone had to put chemicals in it, do something to it, it's processing, right? That's why fruits and veggies, it's easy. But you also want to be looking at like the quality of your meat. So meat that comes from, you know, your normal like industrial conventional feedlots is actually not going to be very beneficial for your body. That is one place where you do want to splurge a little on quality. It does matter.
Well, and more, you know, in addition to the health benefits of it being better for you, it oftentimes tastes better too when,
oh, 100%. When you
splurge a little bit more on that type of stuff. I know my wife and I found a local farm that had yes. you know, like the fresh cut you know, beef and all that other stuff that they offered, and it was so much better. It was mm-hmm. it was like the restaurant quality, better than restaurant quality meat that you're getting from these places, and it wasn't that much more expensive than what you would get in yeah. in a grocery store or whatever. So, so it does make a big difference, and we try to stop by there as often as we can and pick up that kind of stuff. So, and you know, when you're talking about finding the right kind of foods and everything. I know, especially when when I was deployed to Afghanistan, it wasn't always easy to take care of the health and fitness. Yeah. You know, we were working 12-hour shifts, you know, always out doing some sort of mission or, you know, some sort of security, or we're doing something constantly. Mm-hmm. We had a small gym on the base, which was good for a workout, but our meals were often pretty small portions yeah. and not always the best food, you know, with the stuff that just the way they have to ship it to those remote bases, it's not always the most fresh fruits and vegetables and all that kind of stuff.
Oh yeah.
And that stuff was just hard to come by to begin with. I even had my family ship food out to us because we were starving. We were hungry. Yeah. Exactly. But like you were talking about, a lot of that stuff was the packaged foods, the processed, definitely not fresh food, you know, fruits and vegetables that wouldn't have lasted too long in the mail. So how can people who are deployed, how can they work on their health and their fitness and keep up on that while they're in a remote area, potentially?
Yes. And this is like, that is the question that not enough people are asking. And one that I love to talk about. So the first piece is don't be afraid to supplement. You know, and this is where I kind of rail against, again, the traditional health and wellness industry, because they give you all this advice, right? Like, oh, eat your vegetables and get 8 hours of sleep. And you're like, hey, I'm on deployment. That's not friggin' happening. So what do I do now? How do I achieve maybe not optimum health, but at least decent health while on deployment? Supplements are key. And oh my gosh, there's so much good stuff now. Like, you can get superfoods in a powder. It's glorious. But that was one of the like key things I learned on my first deployment. I found a protein powder company that had a lot of like amino acids and micronutrients in it. And, you know, especially when you got to the point where you're in the middle of the Gulf and you don't have anything green anymore, like, okay, well, I'll have a shake and I know at least I've done something beneficial for my body today. Right. So supplementation is, I think, is a non-negotiable when you're looking at deploying and having and balancing that out. Also with that, like, have a plan for, I'm going to say, cleaner caffeine consumption. I don't know about you, Scott, but Let's see. First deployment, got addicted to Kickstart energy drinks. Second deployment, got addicted to Diet Coke. Do I drink either of those now? No, I do not. And partially because I don't drink coffee. But finding, you know, ways that are, that can give you your caffeine kick that aren't chock full of chemicals, is really important.
So when I was in Afghanistan, in addition to all the snacks and other food that my family sent, I had my wife send me a coffee pot and Dunkin' Donuts coffee, the sugar packets and the powdered creamer and everything. I had her send all of that stuff to me because I drank coffee all the time back then. Mm-hmm. And that was my caffeine. But we had the Rippets and the
Red Bull
and everything else that that we poured into ourselves because you know, sometimes we're working through the night and you know, we're trying to keep ourselves awake, and that's just, you know, a one way of doing it. And and at the time you're not really thinking about your health and what impact is this having on my body and what chemicals are in this. You just care, is this going to keep me awake and alert so that I don't die from some sort of, you know, attack or whatever. So, you know, I definitely see where you're coming from. It's not an easy thing to do on a deployment, but, but if you're paying attention to it and you're trying to figure that out, you know, it might be something that's doable.
Plan ahead, try to time it as much as possible. And obviously, like, you know, my deployments were on ships, so I was able to, you know, carry quite a bit on board, and then Amazon was relatively reliable underway when we got our RASs in. But one thing too, I wanted to mention, and I wish I had this tool, like the skill set, when I was still deploying. It was something I didn't discover until afterwards. But with sleep, right, like, you may not get sleep sometimes. It's just part of the job. It's part of the nature of it. Meditation as a supplement to sleep is a game changer. So personally, like, and I know this sounds so woo-woo, but it's legit, I promise. but like, personally, I practice transcendental meditation. And in 20 minutes, you are actually getting some of the benefits of deep sleep. So instead of, I mean, back for me, it was, I would take like 10 minute floor naps, you know, during, I had a floor pillow and everything. You know, instead of doing that, like, now I would think, oh my gosh, I just meditate for 20 minutes and you can actually get some of that restorative benefit, you know, more so than you may be able to with like a power nap if you're able to fit one in.
Okay. Well, that's another way of doing that. I haven't even considered that as, you know, an alternative, but the sleep is definitely a factor, you know.
Oh yeah.
When you're on deployment, you just might not get to sleep some nights, even, you know, the job just might be taking you all night long, and next morning you still have to go back to going and doing whatever else you were planning on doing. And so it can definitely be hard to come by. I know there was one night where we were supposed to be out on a mission till, I don't know, 8 or 9 o'clock at night. And we ended up not coming back until around 6 in the morning or so. And then we had to turn around and go back out a few hours later, and sleep was just not going to happen that day. We had other stuff that we had to clean, take care of and maintain. And so we just didn't go to sleep that day. And it, you know, there was other days like that where, you know, it just became a almost 24 plus hour day, and you don't go to sleep. So, you know, being able to do something like that, meditate and get some of those benefits of sleep to refresh and restore yourself to
totally
be more alert and awake when you need to be is probably pretty important. It's definitely worth the 15, 20 minutes or so of doing just to get that benefit out of the way, especially when you know you're not going to have time for a full power nap or, you know, a good deep sleep anyways.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit about what it is that you do on the coaching side and how you help people with their own fitness and everything.
Yeah. So as I mentioned, I basically help people create those habits in each of the four pillars. Where the coaching side of it really comes in. So I am a certified wellness life coach, and the biggest piece that we dig into is the mindset piece, which again, people talk about mindset as like this arbitrary thing that we should all aspire to, having a good mindset, positive mindset, whatever that means, right? But we have so many stories that we tell ourselves about our bodies, about our worthiness, about food, that when you start digging into this work and you realize, you know, I remember once I had a client with, and this was actually the first time I'd ever talked to her. And she was telling me that, you know, she's just struggling with kind of following through, getting motivated. I ask a few powerful questions as a coach, right? Well, no, she actually has a really terrible relationship with food and was bullied in high school for, you know, her body. And she's carried that into her 30s. So unpacking kind of what the story is that they're telling themselves, and then moving forward to healing that and to being that person that you want to show up as, you know, confident in uniform. Or for my vets, right, a lot of them are like, I let myself go when I got out, and now I don't feel like I'm representing the veteran community well, right? So digging into that, you go, okay, but even if you're not where you're at right now, first of all, health is a journey. It's not like a finish line. We're all in the process constantly. You're still worthy of love and respect. And when you figure out how to do that for yourself, how to treat yourself like and believe it, that you are worthy of those things, it's a lot easier to follow through with actions that, again, like back up that identity that you are worthy of yourself. Kind of going back to Atomic Habits, right? Like your actions are in alignment with your identity. And so if you need to change your actions, you need to craft a new identity of what you want to be and how you want to show up as.
Right. You're not going to have a lean, muscular, you know, fit physique if your thought of yourself is this couch potato who sits around and eats potato chips and binges on Netflix shows all day instead of getting your butt off the couch and going and doing something.
Yeah. Totally. And even if you do, you know, commit to something, lose the weight you want to lose, if you haven't done that inner work, then you're still going to have something in the back of your head that's going to sabotage. And if it doesn't show up in your health, it will show up somewhere else in your life. Usually relationships is like the next place it goes if it doesn't show up in your health.
Yeah, for sure. That definitely will take place as well with your relationships, with your spouse or other people in your life, you know, whoever it happens to be, that those things will trickle down into those relationships as well. And
yeah, absolutely.
I don't think you want that happening. So, Ashley, it's been a pleasure speaking with you today. Where can people go to get in touch with you and find out more about your coaching and the clean eating challenge and everything else that you have?
Yeah. So, I mean, kind of the one-stop shop for everything is my website, ashleymcgee.com. Very easy to remember, as long as you can spell my name correctly, which is ASHLEIGHNMAGEE. ashleymcgee.com/clean-eating-challenge is where you can get enrolled in that clean eating challenge. I have a weekly podcast as well, the Healthy Women Warriors podcast, and a Facebook group by the same name, And that's really for women in the military community that want to improve their health and wellness. That's where I show up the most. I am on Instagram and, you know, the things, but as far as where I'm the most, you know, that Facebook group, the podcast, and then I have several freebies on my website. It also has all of my coaching on there. So if folks want more information, and I'm always open to, you know, a DM, just say, hey, interested in what you do, like, tell me more. Because if I'm not the right fit for you, or, you know, I'll point you to someone that is. So
well, that's excellent. And I'll have links to all of that, your website and social media, the Facebook group, your podcast, all of that stuff in the show notes. So anyone who's looking to get in touch with you, you don't have to worry about spelling your name. It'll be spelled correctly for you and everything will be in there. So you can check all that stuff out. But again, thank you for joining me and sharing a little bit about your journey and what it is that you do. Really, really happy to have you on. And I'm glad you came on to share.
Thank you so much for having me on. I really appreciate it. This was a super fun conversation and I can clearly nerd out about health for a long time.
Well, maybe we'll have you back on another time and we can go a little bit deeper in some of these topics as well and nerd out big time on some of that. So
would love to.
All right.
Thanks for listening to the Drive On Podcast. If you want to check out more episodes or learn more about the show, you can visit our website, driveonpodcast.com. We're also on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, and YouTube at Drive On Podcast.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.